time now for Western Michigan at Work, the program which brings you each week the story of one of the industries of Western Michigan and the people who work in it. Tonight we present the story of radio station WKZO as an industry, a business which provides employment for upwards of 50 people here in Kalamazoo. Now here is your guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. Last night on the program Know Your City, we told you of the many ways in which radio station WKZO serves the public interest, convenience, and necessity. This evening, we're going to talk about WKZO as a business enterprise, just as we've described many other industries on this series of programs. Just like any other business in America, a radio station is operated for profit. And as in the case of other industries, radio is fiercely competitive. There's competition among the four major networks which feed programs to local radio stations, and there is competition between the radio stations in a local community. During its early years, radio also competed with newspapers, but that, happily, is a passing phenomenon. Of course, vestiges of the old fight between radio and the newspapers are still with us, but the new generation of broadcasters and publishers recognize that one medium of communication supplements the other. Advertisers can best use newspapers for certain purposes and can best use radio for other purposes. Competition among the networks and among local radio stations is first of all for the big advertising accounts. But success in this depends first and foremost on audience. Just as newspapers fight for circulation, so radio stations fight for audience. There are several independent agencies such as C.E. Hooper Incorporated, Crosley Incorporated, and Robert S. Conlon and Associates, which measure radio audiences through telephone and postcard surveys and through gadgets attached to your radio to register when it's turned on. Thus, the success of any network or local radio station depends on whether it can get and hold a substantial share of the radio audience throughout the day and evening. Radio in America, therefore, caters to the popular taste. And the only way in which the cultural level of broadcasting can be improved is through the general raising of the cultural level of the people. As radio operates in America, it is not primarily to inform or uplift. It is to give the people what they want, and thereby to operate successfully as a business concern. Now, some folks believe that is wrong, that the profit motive corrupts radio. They would like to see radio in America owned and operated by the government, as it is in Britain. Those who support the present system believe that broadcasters have a sufficiently keen appreciation of their public responsibilities to operate their stations in the public interest while still seeking to make a profit. This new radio plant, just occupied by WKZO, is the fruit of private enterprise and the American system of broadcasting. The government did not pay for it. You paid for it, of course, through the extra pennies you paid for what you bought that go for advertising. But advertising has made possible mass production, and that in turn has enabled manufacturers to turn out a product much more cheaply. A commercial radio station like WKZO must reach for the maximum audience most of the time, but not all of the time. For example, a minority of the radio audience will listen to symphonic music or to programs of public discussion, or to informational or educational broadcasts. In spite of that fact, time is found in the schedule for such programs. And whenever a big event occurs, commercial programs are canceled. For example, tomorrow afternoon, WKZO will bring you at 1 o'clock the President's State of the Union talk to Congress. That will mean canceling 3 quarter-hour programs, all of which are sponsored by national accounts, entailing a net loss to this station of well over $100, to say nothing of the cost of operation during that period. In programming a radio station, you examine the network schedule, consider the possibility of live programs, of taking a so-called remote pickup, that's a broadcast originating outside the studio, or scheduling a program of recorded music or talk. You run down the several categories of programs: farm, sports, women's, public affairs, music, entertainment, and so on. You take a long look at the budget, and then you make up your mind. Here at WKZO, this job centers in our program department, headed by Ed McKean. But program strategy is often a subject of discussion for the whole executive staff, headed by our president and general manager, John Fetzer. Having decided on the kind of program, the next job is writing and producing the show. By the way, any kind of a program in radio is called a show. I have asked our program director, Ed McKean, to say a few words on how a show is written and produced. Ed?
Building a radio program sounds easy, you say? Well, there's more to it than meets the ear. In the first place, programs are prepared and planned to suit the time of day, the nature of our audience at that time of day, to highlight the talent of the performer on the show, and quite often to suit the needs and wishes of a sponsor. Of course, in radio, our first watchword is good taste. Whatever we do, we strive to make it entirely acceptable to the majority. For after all, we are trying to please everyone, and that's quite a task. But along with our desire to please the listeners, we must also take into consideration the wishes of sponsors. For it is this system of commercial radio that has made it possible for you to have the Bennys, the Godfreys, Lux Radio Theater, and the Symphonies in your home at the mere flip of a switch. Quite often, a sponsor wishes a novel twist in his program, perhaps a contest, a phone call idea, or a remote show. That's one emanating from his place of business or other location outside our studios. As soon as the type and time of the program are determined, we commence planning the content of the show. If it's a recorded musical show, we have a large transcription and record library from which to choose, over 4,000 separate selections of every nature. If it's a live show, that is, using live talent, we must keep a file of all local talent available. But whatever the type of program desired, we must also weigh carefully the announcer who is to handle the show. Is he the right man for the show? Does his personality fit in with the overall idea? Once all these points are determined, then assignments are made, the initial format is written by the program director, and an audition recording is made so that we may study it and polish the show before it is finally placed on our WKZO schedule. From then on, it's a combination of the working forces of our script-writing department, our music librarian, our announcing and engineering departments, plus the supervision of the production department that keep the program rolling along successfully, we hope.
Thank you, Ed McKean. WKZO broadcasts some programs which, by their nature, are not suitable for sponsorship. But in the case of most shows, those who produce them and appear on them feel happy only when they get a sponsor. WKZO has a national sales manager, John O'Harrell, and four local sales representatives. One of them, John Keenan, is here with me in the studio. John, how do you go about it to sell radio time?
Selling radio time, in many respects, is just like selling any other kind of advertising. The fellow setting out to sell radio time must know his medium and be fully informed about the different kinds of programs and what they cost. He should know his client's advertising needs and know his availability. That is, the places on the schedule where sponsored programs and announcements may be scheduled. Our clients are keenly conscious of the importance of what we call adjacencies. A program or announcement adjacent to a highly rated show is especially valuable. I'd like to say one thing most emphatically, Dr. Dunbar. We are not willing to sell radio time unless we honestly believe the client will get value received for the money he spends. You might be surprised at the amount of unselling we have to do, dissuading a client from buying the kind of announcement or program which we don't believe will deliver. I have found selling radio and radio time in Kalamazoo a most gratifying experience. And I'm sure that goes for the local sales manager, Tom White, and for our other salesmen, Hale Dreisbach and Donald D. Smith.
Thank you, John Keenan. What you have said leads me to mention that an important part of the revenues of a radio station comes from the sale of what are called spot announcements. These are read during the 30 seconds between network shows, during a so-called musical fill, or elsewhere in the schedule where time is available. WKZO employs a writing staff of three persons who compose those announcements and write some of the programs. Mrs. Evelyn Bertrand, who heads the writing staff, is sitting at our table here in Studio B, and I'm going to ask her now to explain some of the rules for writing a commercial announcement.
Well, you have to have a way with words to write good radio copy. We start off by trying to catch the listener's attention with some word or phrase. Sometimes we even use sound effects to help. But the advertiser tells the salesman what he wants his message to say. We write it, and then the salesman takes it back to the client for his approval before it is aired. All copy is made up in a loose-leaf book and delivered to the program department the preceding night. Writing radio copy is a challenging job. Just try someday to say the same thing in a dozen different ways.
Yes, indeed. I imagine that's pretty hard. Now, the making of the master log for each day's operation is a very important and intricate job performed by the two young ladies in the traffic department. I'd like to introduce next Mrs. Hazel McCartney, our traffic chief.
The traffic department is dependent upon information received from all other departments. From the sales department, we receive booking orders for all commercial programs and announcements. Each week we get from the program department a list of sustaining program changes. And from the public affairs department, a list of public service announcements. With this information, we compile master logs from which the daily program schedules are made for the announcers and engineers to follow throughout the broadcast day. It is our responsibility to accurately schedule everything that goes on the air.
Then comes the billing of the sponsor and keeping track of all the necessary accounting. This department is headed by Ellsworth Tate. As an example of one of the intricacies of your department, Ellsworth, suppose you tell the folks what a frequency discount is.
Like most other businesses, we also have quantity discounts. In our case, however, discounts are not based on the number of pounds, dozens, or barrels sold, but on the number of times the advertised announcement or program is broadcast during the broadcast year. This requires the keeping of careful records on each advertiser in order that he may receive his discount as he reaches each bracket or frequency. This record keeping is somewhat complicated by the fact that one advertiser may have several agencies placing his business and may advertise more than one product, all of which must be combined to determine his frequency discount.
We have yet to mention a most vital and important part of the station operation, the engineering phase. Carl Lee, our chief engineer, will tell you something about his department.
The engineering staff consists of 14 men, all licensed by the Federal Communications Commission. One man is on duty at all times at our transmitter, located 2 miles north of Parchment. At least one person is always on duty in the master control room, and one or more engineers are working in the sub-control rooms, depending upon the nature of the program. It is the engineer's responsibility for the program from the time the sound is converted into electrical energy at the microphone and until such time as it is transmitted upon the air. All maintenance work must be done between sign-off at 1:05 a.m. and 6 a.m. sign-on time. In the studios, the engineer has to see that the microphones are properly placed and proper balance of sound levels are maintained. When programs are to originate outside the studio, we see to it that broadcast lines are ordered and the proper terminals are installed at the point of pickup. We have a great deal of portable equipment, including tape recorders and amplifiers, ready at any time to be used for remote programs. And of course, the engineer must be alert at all times to see that the rules and regulations of the Federal Communications Commission are observed.
Thank you, Carl. Now I'd like to tell our listeners about our hookup with station WJEF in Grand Rapids, our sister station. The Fetcher Broadcasting Company maintains a direct telephone line for the transmission of programs back and forth between these two stations. Incidentally, all radio transmission is by telephone wire. WJEF is a 250-watt station serving Grand Rapids and Kent County only. It carries CBS programs just the same as WKZO, but it has its own schedule of local programs. In several instances, local programs are broadcast simultaneously over both transmitters, some originating in Grand Rapids, some in Kalamazoo. What about the people who work in a radio station? As you may have gathered from hearing about the several departments, they are people of diverse talents. Not all of them have good voices, but everyone around a broadcasting station feels a sense of urgency. There's always a crisis, now or in prospect. Folks are usually in a hurry. Split-second timing makes radio people acutely conscious of the clock. It's a glamorous business to most people, but it ends up by being a job which may become at times pretty wearying, but it never is dull. And that's the story of WKZO and how it operates as one of the business enterprises of Western Michigan. This program was brought to you in part by transcription. Next week, we will bring you the story of the People's Rapid Transit Company. which provides transportation for a considerable number of towns and cities in western Michigan.
This has been another program in the series Western Michigan at Work, presented each Tuesday evening at 6:30 in the public interest.